right. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn over to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4 this morning. And this morning we're continuing through our journey through the Bible. And this morning we're going to look at, up to this point, we've seen, of course, creation. We've seen the fall of man. We've seen the creation of man. We are now going to look at following the fall of man. We now are going to look at the story of Cain and Abel and how a spiritual rebellion is going to lead to the first murder that we find here recorded for us in Scripture. So Genesis chapter 4, first thing we want to see this morning is the sons. And so who'd like to read there verses 1 and 2? Miss Martha, go ahead. All right. And so here we see that Cain, of course, the first human by a natural childbirth. And then we see Abel. He's the second born. And then we see Abel for his vocation, his career, for lack of a better word. He becomes a shepherd. Cain will go on to become a farmer. And so these are the two characters that we're dealing with here this morning in chapter 4. And that brings us into the offerings that the two sons, the two brothers, would bring. Who'd like to read there verses 3 and 4? Katie, go ahead.
And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respected unto Abel and to his offering.
All right. And so here we see the offerings that they are offering to the Lord. We see Cain offers the fruit of the ground. Abel offers this blood sacrifice. Now, we know that the Lord has told both of them to bring forth an offering. We see the results of that. And we see the first result of that actually in the second part of verse 4. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But then verse 5, we see, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And so here we see the two sons, they bring forth these two offerings. They one brings forth the fruit of the ground. One brings forth this blood sacrifice. God accepts Abel's offering. God rejects Cain's offering. And because of this, we find Cain becomes very angry at God's rejection. And now because of this, we're going to see that God now is going to go and he's going to confront Cain regarding this anger at this rejection. Who'd like to read there verses 6 and 7? Verses 6 and 7 of chapter number 4. Brother Kenny?
And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him.
All right, and so now we see here God comes to Cain, and he urges Cain now to consider his own anger. He says here unto him, he says, basically just in layman's terms there, he says, why are you angry? Why are you all of a sudden sad? Why has your countenance, your face, why has it changed? And he says, basically, you know, if you would have done what I told you to do, it would have been accepted. Mm-hmm. If you would have listened, your offering would have been accepted. And so God urges Cain, basically, hey, reconsider your anger here. Your anger is misplaced. Your anger isn't right. And he says, your actions either bring my blessings or they block my blessings. And that's the same truth even today. Our actions will either call down the blessings of God or they'll block the blessings of God, and the choice is ours. Just like the choice was Cain and Abel's, and just like the choice was Eve's there when we looked at the fall, our choices dictate the blessings or lack thereof. And, you know, it's been said that your actions affect your relationships. And, you know, how many times, you know, especially in a marriage, right? You know, one of you, you do something silly or stupid or whatever the case may be. Now, that doesn't change fact that you're married, that, you know, your husband is still your husband, your wife is still your wife. But there for a moment that relationship is strained a little bit, and you have what we like to refer to around here as the intense moment of fellowship. And it affects that relationship for that time being. It's like, you know, parents and their kids. When the parents have to discipline the kids, or maybe spank the kids, or discipline, or whatever the case may be. And that doesn't change the fact that those children are still the parents' child, but there for a moment that relationship is strained and it's not what it ought to be. And that's what's happening here. Your actions affect your relationship, and that's what is happening here with Cain. His actions affected his relationship not only with the Lord, but now we're going to see it affected his relationship with his brother, because now we're going to see Cain's crime. Who'd like to read there verse number 8? Verse number 8. Jeff, go ahead.
And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him.
Mm-hmm. And so now we see here, God told these brothers, I want an offering. Here's the offering I want. Abel brought what God had wanted. Cain brought the fruit of the ground and offering unto the Lord. Now, if you know anything about this particular passage of Scripture, you know that the fruit that Cain brought was the best of the best. He brought his absolute best to the Lord. But the Lord wasn't looking for necessarily the absolute best. He was looking for obedience. And Cain didn't obey. And so oftentimes we fall into the trap of, well, I gotta be on my best behavior. I gotta give my absolute best. And we should want to give our best to the Lord. But you gotta realize, he's not looking necessarily for perfection from us. He's looking for obedience. He's looking for faithfulness. He's looking for us to trust him when he tells us something. And so here we see Cain's crime, and we see now he didn't do what God told him to do. Again, Brother Kenny?
Well, I was just thinking, it doesn't expressly say in there that he said it had to be an animal sacrifice, although we get that.
Mm-hmm.
We can infer that from when he killed the animals to clothe Adam and Eve. But
right.
Do you think the reason why it doesn't expressly say that is because Moses wrote the first four books of the Bible, and Moses had already told the children of Israel that animal sacrifices were necessary?
That could be. Yeah, that's very well possible. Yeah, because he doesn't actually come out here and say that, because we go from chapter 3, we go from the fall of man right into the story of Cain and Abel. And so that's interesting. That's something we'll have to look more into.
It's the blood that cleanses.
Yeah.
That's why. And you can't get blood out of a turnip.
Yeah.
right, yeah, yeah.
And that, and the fact that the Cain, even though it was the best of the best, it was still something that he produced. He
right.
had to till the ground. He had to clear the weeds. He had to right. do the toil and the labor.
It was his own efforts. And that goes back to, when we talk about salvation in our modern context, is that it's not our efforts that save us. Is what he's already done for us, and all we have to do is trust him, and so that's actually a pretty good point there, but we see here that God tells Cain, he says, listen, consider your anger here. Why are you angry? Cain didn't do that. He didn't stop to take a moment. You know, sometimes, you know, when you're angry, all you have to do is take a moment, you know, take a couple deep breaths, you know. And the moment will pass. And now I realize that's easier said than done, because it's easier to, you know, get huffy and blow up and blow out and, you know, all the rest. And
good thing I never do that.
Yeah, right. And, you know, we've been on a kitchen nightmares kick lately. with Gordon Ramsay, and watching that. And we've been, the last couple episodes have been Italian restaurants with Italian owners. And I thought I had a temper. But some of these owners on this show, I mean, they really had a temper. And, you know, but sometimes all we have to do is take a moment, step back, and we would realize what we're actually getting angry over isn't really that important to get angry over in the grand scheme of things. Now, yes, there are certain things we should be passionate about, we should be firm about, and so on and so forth. But there's very rarely much that deserves our anger in life. Ms. Martha?
I just was going to say that sometimes I get angry with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, oh no, don't get angry. Just love them and pray for them.
That's right. Yeah.
That's what I do.
Absolutely. Yep. And, you know, and even when you get angry with them, that doesn't change your relationship. You're still their mom. They're still your kids. And that's the same thing with God. You know, we might get mad with God, or God might get mad with us and our sin and things we do that we shouldn't do. But he's still our God, and we're still his child. And so we see here God, Cain's anger. He shows that he ignored God's instruction. Cain then takes his anger at God, and he takes it out on his brother. How many of us are guilty of that sometimes? You know, we're angry at something or somebody else, but we can't necessarily take it out on them. So we go and take it out on somebody else. And, you know, we're all guilty of that, right? And we instead of, you know, we misplace our anger. We put it off on somebody else. And that's what Cain is doing here. And we see his anger. And again, there's nothing wrong with being angry necessarily. The Bible tells us, you know, let not the sun dwell on your anger. And so, in other words, don't go to bed angry. You know, make sure that for as best you can, before you go to bed at night, make sure you don't let, you know, yourself go to sleep angry.
So you're but, saying we can have a scream room?
Sure. And, but.
I think a range room sounds better.
I
want to
do one of those.
But Cain's anger here, it drove him to do something that anger or just emotions will cause someone to do. It caused him to do something he probably thought he'd never do. And that was murder his own brother. Sometimes anger and emotions, they drive us. It may not necessarily be murder, but sometimes they can drive us to do something we would never say we would do. And so we see Cain's crime. And then number six this morning, we see God's punishment. We see God's punishment. Who'd like to read there chapter 4, verses 9 through 15? Katie, go ahead.
And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth out to me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out of this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him.
All right, and so here we see that Cain now has to deal with the punishment. Cain now has to deal with the consequences of this. And we see here, verse 9, Cain is still angry at God. In verse number 9, God comes to him and he says, where is Abel thy brother? And by the way, God wasn't asking that question because he needed to actually know where Abel was. God already knew the answer to this question. Just like, go back to chapter 3. Chapter 3. And notice there. Verse 9, yes. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And so again, here's a question God was asking that he already knew the answer to. Mm-hmm. You know, how many times have we ever been asked questions by somebody that we knew they know the answer already before they asked us. And that's what God was doing here. God knew the answer. He wasn't asking because he was lacking knowledge. He knew. And Cain here had some, really some gall in verse number 9. Because he basically gets sassy with God. And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Now imagine talking to God like that. I mean, you know, the God who could strike you dead if he saw fit. And but we see Cain is still angry with God. And in verse 10, we see Abel's blood calls out to God. God curses Cain's effort. And then Cain begins to fear human vengeance. So he thinks, well, now since he killed, someone's going to come and kill him. But then in verse 15, we see God mercifully protects Cain. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And so we see that God, he didn't have to protect him, but mercifully, in mercy, he did just that. He protected Cain here. And so there's several other things we see from this account and from this story. Number one, we see that every child is a gift from God. Every child is a gift from God. Notice there again, verse 1. The Bible says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. The name Cain actually means possession. That's what Cain's name means. It means possession. So Eve cherished her gift from God as a sign that in spite of her sin, God still showed a sign of mercy despite her sin. And despite our sin, God in our life still shows us signs of his mercy and of his grace and of his forgiveness. And so certainly now Eve was justified by all means to cherish this baby, to love this baby, to protect this baby. But, you know, we should not cherish any less every son, every daughter that God gives to us as a special possession. And so, because they're no less a gift from God. And every time a child is born, you know, we ought to say, as Eve did here, I've gotten a child from the Lord. That's what that phrase there, I've gotten a man from the Lord, means. And so we see every child is a gift from God. But then secondly, we see each of us determines our own destiny. Each of us determines our own destiny. You know, here, Cain deserves no credit, absolutely none whatsoever, for the fact that he was the first human to be born. He didn't have a choice in that. He didn't have a say in whether he was the first human to be born here, but he does deserve the blame for the fact that he committed the first murder. He committed the first sin of murder. And in one man is found both a monumental honor and a monumental crime. And we must recognize that the great gifts that have been given to us, you know, for which really when we think about it, we deserve no credit in of ourselves. But be sure that we are not guilty of turning those gifts into tragedy. And that's what Cain did. He took this gift of life from the Lord and he turned it into a tragedy. And that's a sad thought when we think about it. And so we see that each of us, we determine our own destiny. We have the choice on which way we're going to go. You know, we all come to that metaphorical fork in the road at some point in life. And are we going to go the way God would have us to go? Or are we going to go the way we want to go and the way the world would have us to go? And so then thirdly, we see God has the right to tell us how to please him. Notice there verses 3 through 7. Verses 3 through 7. The Bible says, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt not be accepted. Shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And so here, though Cain had no doubt been taught about offerings by his father Adam, at some point he decided that he had a better idea, that it would make more sense for him to give of his best from what he had produced. We just talked about that a little bit ago, of what he did, of what his efforts could come up with. And he ignored the fact that God required this blood sacrifice. He just totally tossed that aside. And even when he's rebuked by God here about this matter, he refuses to deal with this sinful error. And instead of dealing with it, he gets mad at Cain, he gets mad at Abel. He kills Abel. Instead of, you know, repenting of this sin, instead of, you know, making it right, he gets mad. He lets his anger make him do something he probably thought he'd never do. And, you know, Cain, like many of us, he just cannot accept the simple truth that God has the total right to tell us how to please him and to demand that we come to him on his terms and not our own. You know, we talk a lot about grace and mercy and forgiveness, and there's all of that in the Bible, but the Bible still has boundaries. There's still, you know, you sometimes go and read the book of Nehemiah. And in the book of Nehemiah, you'll find a lot of talk and a lot of writing about how they constructed walls around the city of Jerusalem. Now, you know, if you just take it at face value, okay, what were they trying to do? They were trying to protect the city. They were trying to keep that which should not be in out. But when you study it on a deeper level, you realize they constructed those walls for what? Safety. And in our life, we ought to construct some walls, spiritually speaking, that will keep us safe from the things of the world that will get us off track with the Lord. And, you know, have those spiritual walls, so to speak, put up. And so we see that God has that total right to tell us, hey, this is how you please me. This is how I'm honored. This is how I'm glorified. And we have no right to say, well, God, I think I have a better idea on how to worship you. I think I have a better idea on how to please you. Because the truth of the matter is, we don't have a better idea. God already has it all set up for us in his word. And so then we see that conviction from God paints us a clear, simple picture. Verses 6 and 7 again, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." And so we see this appeal from God to Cain after Cain's sin is the same basic appeal that God makes to us when he convicts us of sin. We see several things. Number one, your sin has brought you sorrow. Your sin has brought you sorrow. He asks Cain, he says, "Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen?" And this is God reminding us that, you know, oftentimes there's a reason for our bitter spirit. There's a reason for our sour spirit. And we ought to, you know, examine our own hearts and find out, okay, well, why do we have this sour spirit? Why do we have this bitter spirit? Why do we have this, you know, just, you know, walking around like we just drank a gallon of lemon juice? You know, why is that? And we see that your sin has brought you sorrow. Sin brought Cain here sorrow. But then secondly, we see that the difference between God's blessing and his curse is the difference between obedience and disobedience. God tells Cain, he says, listen, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. In other words, if you do exactly what I told you to do, if you do it just the way I laid it out for you, you'll be accepted. There's no problems there. But if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. In other words, if you don't do what I tell you to do, you're inviting sin in to your dwelling place. You're inviting sin into your life. And that's the difference. Obedience and disobedience. Then we see that even through all that, there's still hope to change. There's still hope to change. You notice that God's appeal to Cain in verse 7, it's not past tense. He says, if thou doest well, if thou doest not well, unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So this appeal of God was not in the past tense. It was in the present tense, which means God was not giving up on Cain. And, you know, the truth is this morning, when we sin and we do sin and we do mess up, God doesn't give up on us. God, for as much as we falter and fail and all the rest, you know, it would be very, you know, sometimes, you know, especially humanly speaking, we seem to give people a certain amount of rope, don't we? You know, and, you know, okay, and what's he all saying? Fool me once, shame on me. Or fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And, you know, and that's how we view things. But, you know, I'm thankful God doesn't view it like that. Because how many times do we, you know, have to go back to God and say, you know, God, it's me again. You know, huh? Thousands of times. And thousands of times God says, all right, go and sin no more. And so here we see God was not giving up on Cain. He was showing him how to change. But here's the thing. Cain gave up on himself. Cain gave up on himself. God gave him the way of escape, and Cain chose not to. And at that point, you can't help somebody. You know, you can show them, hey, here's what you need to do. Here's what needs to be done. But you can't do it for them. Yeah. Eventually, they have to do it themselves. And then, fifthly and finally, we see that when we refuse to deal with God's conviction, our sin will grow more complicated. When we refuse to deal with God's conviction, our sin will grow more complicated. Notice there, verses 8 to 12. Bless you. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. So again, we see Cain here. He ignores God's voice. And he took his sin further than it should ever have gone. Cain brought heartache upon himself, upon his parents, and upon a long line of descendants. And that's the key this morning to realize. That when we ignore God's voice, eventually sin will destroy not only your life, but it will destroy the lives of those I love. You know, so many times we fall into the trap. Oh, it's just a little sin, and it just, you know, this little sin just affects me. That's not true. Your sin not only affects you, but it affects those that you're close to. It affects those that you love. And eventually... And we quoted the verse time and time again, sin, when it goeth forth and is finished, it bringeth forth death. Sin, whatever it touches, will bring forth death. And here, quite literally, it brought forth death. Cain sinned. He refused to get it right. And it caused him to raise up and slew or kill his brother. And so that's the account and the story of Cain and Abel this morning. Any questions on Cain and Abel this morning?
So for the verse 5, mm-hmm. There's a note in mine that says, the first recorded offering given to God was also the first one rejected by him. Since cereal offerings were authorized in the law of Moses, the fact that Cain's offering was a vegetation rather than an animal is not why God had not respected it.
Cain's wrath suggests that the offering was rejected because of the sin in his heart, not the nature of his offering.
Huh. Well, I think that first part, let's go back there. What verse is it? Quote verse 5?
Yeah, that's where the note is.
Let's see. Let's see. And read the first part of the note again.
Since cereal offerings were authorized in the law of Moses, the fact that Cain's offering of a vegetation was not why God had rejected it. Cain's wrath reaction suggests that the offering was rejected because of the sin in his heart.
Hmm.
I don't know. That was just a note that I had,
yeah.
So I didn't know.
But did it also say that that it was the first offering rejected?
Yes.
Yeah, the first recorded offering given to God was also the first one rejected by him.
Okay, they got it semi-wrong there. Oh, no, they did get it right. Okay.
Yeah.
Because those things that covered themselves wasn't a sacrifice.
Right. That's an interesting perspective because we have no evidence that there was any anything in Cain's heart before the offering.
Or the murder, really, right?
Yeah. So does that have any references to it? No, I'll have to look more into that. That is that the life application?
No, this is a King James
study Bible.
Oh, yeah, no, but is that like what kind of... Is it just like a King James study Bible or a life application?
Yeah, King James.
Oh, okay, I have that at home. Okay, I'll have to look into that a little bit more.
I know, like, based on the authors that they have, they do, like, different interpretations. So
yeah.
I was like, maybe
yeah, that
helps.
Yeah, that's interesting. I never considered that before.
Yeah, well, I have been taught growing up that... They, because they covered themselves with leaves and stuff like that, that's man's version. And they had to kill an animal. God killed an animal to cover the sin, so that's where the blood sacrifice comes from.
Yeah, that's what Kenny was saying earlier there.
Mm-hmm.
And,
that's what I was talking about.
So, that's interesting. I will definitely do a little more research into that this week. So, anybody else?
You'd have to look into it and everything, but there's times when... But, I mean, further on with Moses, if he authorized a cereal offering, it might have been something where sometimes God says, you know what, like, if you're so poor that you can't afford an animal, I'll accept this because you're doing the best you can.
Yeah, well, that's kind of like in the New Testament there. When the people got on the lady there when she just brought her two mites or whatever.
She
gave all that she had. Yeah.
For the rich man, gave minimal.
Right, yeah. Even though for the rich man, it was a lot.
Case where he did authorize it, but it might have been after...
After the fact.
After the fact that it was made clear that it should be an animal. It's not really clear, like I would say.
Yeah, at least not there in chapter 4. Yeah, no.
But when you think about the fact that Moses had written the first four books, it might have been that he didn't make it clear because he had already made it clear.
Right. And we also don't know how much, because you notice there that it goes from... There in chapter 4, it goes from in verse 1, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've got a man from the Lord. And then it goes, and verse 2, she bare again his brother Abel. And then in verse 3, it says, and in the process of time, it came to pass. So there, it also doesn't give us an indication of how much time passed between verse 2 and verse 3. And so
you would think it would have to be a fair amount of time because if Cain was worried about coming upon people,
yeah,
and his mother and father were the mother and father of all people,
yep,
then there would have been a fair amount of time where other people would have been born. But you got to remember, at that point in time, even though death was in the world, people lived to be 800-900 years old.
Right. And so there's it's very interesting. So we don't know the time that it passed, and so you would also think that, you know, Adam would have taught the boys the importance of sacrifices, but again, it's not clear.
Yeah, that's where we get that phrase, you can't get blood out of eternity.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so, all right, well, Brother Kenneth, would you close us in prayer, and then we'll head in the morning service.